now.
I don't know who he is behind that mask of his, but I do know when we need him. And we need him now.
I'll call him, sir.
For some reason, the cool bars in Hollywood have to be hard to find and have no sign.
This is the Cocktail Nation.
We are going 100% old school this week. Normally the show's a mixture of old and new, but request from Damien of North Dakota says, can we wind the clock back and go all old school? And I said, yeah, okay, cool, we'll do that. So here we are, back with all your pure 50s and 60s lounge. Plus, we have a lounge special this week on the life of Zsa Zsa. It is the Cocktonation on syndicated stations around the world and on iHeartRadio. As we kick off with Mr. Sinatra and Success. Mr. Success on the Cocktonation.
When I walk through a jam, no one knows who I am. Put your head on my chest, and I'm Mr. Success. Never closed me a deal, all at once I'm a wheel. Just your head on my chest, and I'm Mr. Success. Why, I once knew a worrying man. He was a hurrying man with never a second to play. He had appointments to keep, people to meet, and it took 30 hours to make him a day. Not for me, not what I want to be. Just your head on my chest, and I'm Mr. Success. Second to play. He had appointments to keep, lots of people to meet, and it took 30 hours to make him a day. Not for me, not what I wanna be. Put my love to the test, that's when I'm at my best. 'Cause with you, pretty baby, standing by my side, I couldn't be a failure even if I tried. 'Cause you make me Mr. Success.
The slickest, the smoothest. He's a man who gets into some very hot spots and some very tight spots. Beautiful girls get stuck on him.
Just the two of us. Soft music.
Bad guys get struck by him. The mind-grabbing master plan to conquer the world.
It's Coop Cooper on the Cocktail Nation.
Cocktail Nation with Cy Coleman there with Playboy's theme. Lounge leader Coop Cooper with you. Official website, cocktailnation.net, for the archives of the show. And, of course, a whole bunch of other stuff that's going on the show.
A Cocktail Nation Lounge Special.
Hello, darlings. Lee Bailey, who is the host of Good Company, asked if I would do something really memorable on his show. I've been paralyzed ever since, so I came here to my favorite thinking place to try to think of something. You know, I get my best ideas in the bars, though. You would be surprised how many bad ideas I got right here in this tub. But actually, this is my favorite room in the whole house. This is my office. I have my telephone here. I have my gramophone record player here. I have everything here. And where can you think better than in a wonderful hot bathtub anyhow? Now, if you guys would take those cameras away, I'd like to sleep in something much more comfortable so I can show you the rest of the house.
Tonight on the show, Zsa Zsa Gabor. She passed away at the age of 99 in 2016, former beauty queen and actress. She was ahead of her time in the Hollywood golden age. Zsa Zsa was probably one of the first celebutantes. If there had been no Zsa Zsa, there probably would be no Kim Kardashian. Although after her television career, Gabor became a bit of a punchline or a caricature known for her run-ins with Beverly Hills Cops or for her many marriages, it wasn't always that way. She was of a time when socialite was not yet a negative term. Despite a spotty film career, she became a staple on TV, often appearing as herself, and she often spoofed her active social life with a bit of a quip or a darling. That became her signature term of endearment. She was born Sari Gabor in Budapest, Hungary, in 1917, and she competed in the 1936 Miss Hungary pageant, but was disqualified for being underage. She made her film debut in the musical Lovely to Look At from 1952, starring opposite Red Skelton, Catherine Grayson and Howard Keel. Fittingly for someone who became famous for just being herself, Gabor's character's name was Zsa Zsa. That same year, she also had a part in We're Not Married with Ginger Rogers and Fred Allen, and starred in Moulin Rouge with José Ferrer. Gabor later appeared opposite one-time husband George Sanders in Death of a Scoundrel in 1956 and had a small role in Orson Welles' Touch of Evil in 1958. Memorably, she played Talia in the B-movie Queen of Outer Space in 1958. Beginning in the 1950s through the 1980s, Gabor was a frequent guest on television in series such as Diverse as Playhouse 90 and the Colgate Comedy Hour, even F Troop and Batman, as well as countless appearances on variety and talk shows. She was certainly glamorous, quick-witted, and not afraid to make fun of herself or her nine marriages, including Conrad Hilton, Paris Hilton's great-grandfather. Seven divorces and one annulment. The sample joke, I suppose, is probably a man in love is incomplete until he's married, she said, and then he's finished. Or perhaps even touting her housekeeping abilities, which she noted that despite her divorces, she still managed to keep the house. Gabor made headlines and jump-started her career in 1989 after an altercation with a police officer. She slapped the officer after being stopped for a driving violation, was arrested on charges of assault. She was fined and sentenced to 3 days in jail after failing to complete the terms of her probation. A civil suit was settled out of court in 1991. The incident did result in an unauthorized documentary, which you can see on YouTube, The People vs. Zsa Zsa Gabor from 1991. And that same year, she memorably spoofed the incident in Naked Gun 2.5, The Smell of Fear. In later years, Gabor appeared as herself in movies such as The Beverly Hillbillies in 1993 and a very Brady sequel in 1996. But legal troubles kept her name in the headlines. In June 2005, she and her husband Prince Friedrich von Anhalt sued her only child, Francesca van Hilton, accusing her of fraud and larceny. Despite a tepid movie career, a tumultuous personal life, and sometimes public legal wrangling, Gabor remained a celebrity for decades, a singular personality known by one name, and that was Zsa Zsa. Here she is in an interview that she did on television back in the 1960s.
Hello, I'm Lee Bailey. While we're waiting for her to slip into something more comfortable, as she put it, Zsa Zsa lives in this majestic ridge in the Bel Air section of Los Angeles. It's an area of breathtaking vistas and lovely homes. It's a storybook castle filled with art treasures and memorabilia of her exciting life. which includes careers in stage, screen, and television, and some husbands to boot. Movie stars like to give the impression that they're just like the folks next door, but not Zsa Zsa. She is a star, she knows it, she likes it, and she lives like one. She created this home to fit the legend of Zsa Zsa Gabor, and it's considered to be one of the finest homes in Hollywood.
Hello, Mr. Bailey. I'm Miss Gabor's secretary, Carl. Miss
Gabor. How do you do, Carl?
How do you do? Miss Gabor wanted you to know she'll be down in just a moment.
Thank you very much. Is it kind of a tough job being Zsa Zsa's secretary?
Well, I can't say it's not difficult. I guess it is. She's very complex. She has many careers, and we lead a busy life here. Of course, everybody in the world wants to see Zsa Zsa Gabor or get, you know, close to her somehow. It's my job to see that the wrong ones don't and the right ones do.
Well, we're going to try and get close to her today. You know, she's got quite a public image, and we're all familiar with it, but you know what she's like privately. Can you compare the two? Is she for real?
Well, I was amazed to find that the legendary Zsa Zsa Gabor really does exist. I mean, she really is this beautiful and this chic and this exciting, this witty, this unpredictable. Well, there's another side, too, though, and the public doesn't know that, I think, and that's that she's very sensitive and very thoughtful of others. For instance, I had only been here a few days when Tony Curtis and his wife, Christine, came over for lunch, and Miss Gabor said, come and join us, Carl, and she had an extra place set at the table. I think she does many things for people like that, and many kindnesses, and permits no publicity about it.
Welcome, Lee, darling, to my house. Come on, darling, I want to show you my terrace.
You know, we were admiring this view out here a little while ago, Zsa Zsa. Who lives
around? Isn't that fantastic view? Well, I have all kind of exciting neighbors. First of all, down here lives Nancy Sinatra. And, you know, it's very interesting. Remember a couple of years ago when the terrible kidnapping took place?
Oh, yes, the boy, yeah.
Well, all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, around 2 o'clock, we saw lights going on, television cameras, and I was sure that the boy was found. So I knew it sooner than any press or anything.
You, have a pretty lovely swimming pool down there. Do you
want to
it
come
much?
Come downstairs and take a swim with me. It's just the weather for
I
it.
Could be talked into that without too
yes?
much trouble. I didn't bring a bathing suit,
don't
though.
Don't worry. First of all, we have all the shrubbery, and then I have all other kind of sizes of swimming trunks.
I see. Tell me, is that the only kind of exercise that you indulge in, or do
of
you do some other things?
Of course not. I do all kinds. I play polo.
You play polo?
I fence. I play ping pong. I play tennis. I love all exercise. Yes, I do play polo. I learned it in Paris.
Who taught you to play polo?
Well, an old friend of mine, Ruby Rose, I don't know if
oh,
you know about
yes, yes, yes. You know, I read that book about you by Gerald Frank, was it not?
We wrote it together,
yes? Yes, I'm sorry, with Gerald Frank.
With Gerald Frank, yes.
And
yes.
You never married Ruby Rose, did you?
No, I was afraid to marry him, even though he was a wonderful person.
Why were you afraid?
I don't know. Yeah. Even though I should have maybe married him, I don't know. Let's not talk about who I didn't marry. Let's not even talk about who I married.
Okay, we'll do that. You used to have another home around here somewhere, as I recall.
Yes,
didn't it burn down?
I had a beautiful home, yes, a couple of years ago. Remember the big Bel Air fire?
Yes, I do.
And I was just in London with a couple of 12 suitcases, and left this gorgeous house covered with antiques and paintings and all the things, you know, what one collects, letters one likes, and, I don't know, photos and everything. And I come back, and there was nothing but ashes.
I hope you had it insured.
Well, first of all, you can't insure all the things that you keep for a lifetime, but it was not, the inside was not insured. And so I had a big loss.
It was a delightful homecoming, wasn't it?
It was a terrible homecoming, and I adored that house. It was a passion. It was quite close here.
Well, this is a pretty nice house as it stands. How many rooms have you got in here, do you know?
I don't know how many rooms I have. I even have a nightclub in here.
Do you think that you could find a smaller place that you
oh,
could
I
love
could,
quite as much?
I could never like a smaller house that much. Anyhow, a smaller house is very expensive.
Well, you're way up here.
I am
very expensive, sure. You're way up here in a hill all alone. Do you ever get lonesome?
Often, yes. All of us get lonesome. I think only very stupid people don't get lonesome.
Zsa Zsa Gabor, our lounge special for this week on the Cocktail Nation. Thank you.
Sydney. A man. A microphone. A dimly lit apartment. And a smoking jacket. The Cocktail Nation.
That ego people pay to see.
Enchanted.
The Cocktail Nation.
Though you vacation in Hawaii, or go to Switzerland to ski, when you're scanning the snow-covered mountains, or fanning yourself by the sea, don't dream of anybody but me. Though you may fly the Scottish Highlands, or take a trip to some isle near Napoli, when you're whistling, the Campbells are coming, or humming the Isle of Capri. Don't dream of anybody but me. In a cafe on the Rhine, any place along the line, I'll forgive you when a stranger puts your little heart in danger, if his face resembles mine. When the guy at a mic in a nightclub begins bellowing something off key, won't even mind if suddenly he reminds you of me.
matter where you care to roam. Doesn't even matter whom you choose to see. Whenever your head hits that pillow, whatever the hour may be, don't dream of anybody but me. Don't dream of anybody but me. Don't dream of anybody but me.
Cocktail Nation.
Cocktail Nation, Herb Albert there, and A Taste of Honey. Bobby Darin in there as well. Don't Dream of Anybody But Me. And Sir Julian with Satin Doll. Hello to Ian Griffin, a man who came out to Australia, it was 6 years ago. And we were conversing on email just the other day. Couldn't believe that it was 6 years ago. And he came out here, he'd been listening to the show for a long time, and he said, hey, Coop, I'm in Australia, can we catch up for a coffee? So I ended up going to his hotel in Potts Point, meeting him there, and then we went around to the district that's called King's Cross. It used to be a red light district, kind of not anymore, really. A little bit sad, actually. It used to be the place where all the sailors used to go, but lockout laws because of violence and stuff like that kind of knocked that on the head. Anyway, it was a wonderful time, and it was great to catch up with Ian 6 years ago. Hard to believe how time flies so quickly, and good to see you are doing well. Let's take a look at Lounge Life magazine. I've got an interesting story on the 1959 Chevrolet Impala. We've got fake news of Orson Welles, The War of the Worlds, at 80, and Marilyn Monroe experts say Kim Kardashian isn't worthy of wearing the Marilyn Monroe gown as she did to the Met Gala. I don't know, didn't look as good as Marilyn, that's all I'll say. So it's an interesting story because it's such a rare and expensive and valuable dress that a lot of people are questioning whether or not it should even have left the glass chamber that it lives in permanently.
On the cocktail nation, coupe et goût.
Break a pencil and you'll have two pencils. Break a pen and you'll have zero pens.
Very deep. Cocktail nation.
Thank you.
Russian.
Cocktail Nation. We'll be right back.
Cocktail Nation with Blas Johnson there, and Mean to Me, Neil Hefti in there as well, with Splanky and John Barry on Her Majesty's Secret Service. So this week news came out that the first black Doctor Who has been cast, an actor by the name of Nkuti Gatwa, and he replaces the previous Doctor, who's played by Jodie Whittaker. Now, it seems today that entertainment business wants us to be very educated in all things diversity. I've got to tell you, I'm finding it a little bit irritating. Look, I'm all for diversity, but why do we have to change iconic characters, turn them inside out and changed around so that we can be taught to be more tolerant? Why can't we create new stories with new characters that are played by diverse characters? Nothing wrong with that. For some strange reason, those in the entertainment business are unable to create anything new these days. Think of all the rehashes that they've done lately. Instead, you know, they take a tried and true recipe and they generally ruin it with a bit of a lecturing diatribe. Now, I've got a friend who told me that his son, who's 12 years old, used to love Doctor Who, but now finds the writing Jodie Whittaker days to be overly preachy and generally poor, and he doesn't watch it anymore. That's a 12-year-old kid. I wonder what he's going to think of that, the latest installment. That's if he ever goes back to it. If anything, it seems to me that the entertainment business is doing actors of diversity a disservice by not creating vehicles that will serve them well and create legends. Instead, they steal from old shows and try and reinvent them so that they can educate us. Sadly, I think all it does is turn people away. Here's Esquivel now on the Cocktail Nation.
Cocktail Nation. Listen, Dickie Bird, my character is a card shark with a taste for booze and bras. That might be too much of a stretch.
He's a playboy.
So what? So are you. What does that have to do with anything?
But I ain't running for president.
Jack Daniels still your drink?
Jack Daniels for Mr. Sinatra.
There's some things money can't buy. For everything else, there's the Cocktail Nation.
Hey, this is Josh from Waterloo, and you're listening to
The Cocktail Nation.
Donation with Billy May and Perfidia. Next week on the show, Gary Wells is back with another book review. Going to leave you Tito Puente, Ritual Drum Dance. Stay happy.